Good morning. How are we doing? Good to see you this morning. I want to start off by thanking Pastor Barry for filling in for me last week as Trudy and I had the opportunity to go to Utah and visit my daughter and her family, and the trip went fairly well. We had a deer on the way down. That kind of was interesting, and so it delayed our trip for a day, but that's okay. We made it. We're back. Good to be home. We are in chapter 3 of the book of Colossians. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and take them out. Turn to Colossians chapter 3 as we continue our series called The One and Only. This book really has two major themes. Chapters 1 and 2 are about doctrine, the supremacy of Christ, being united with Christ as believers, and then fighting against false teaching. And then chapters 3 and 4, we have Paul teaching us how to live this out practically. How do you actually do it? What does a new life in Christ for the believer really look like? And over the past couple of weeks, we've seen the things that people try to put at the center of their lives instead of Christ. And Paul goes full speed ahead now on the real things. If the false teachers were wrong about how to approach the Christian life, then what's the right way? Where should we be headed? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. And there's a number of different directions a person can look when trying to figure out how to live his or her life. Some people look forward. They focus on their goals, and they focus on their plans and what lies ahead. Other people look backwards, and they start to analyze their past decisions and choices. So some people look down on other people in hopes of feeling better about themselves, while still other people look around to see what everybody else is doing. But God gives us a better way. In our passage this morning, God says, look up. So set your hearts and your minds on the things above. And again, it revolves around your identification with Christ and your being unified and united with him by faith. Four times in four verses, Paul mentions Christ. The centrality of Christ is so important in our lives. And I hope over the last few weeks you've noticed that we've talked a lot about this idea, this concept of being united with Christ. That when you put your faith in Christ as Savior, you are united with him in his death and his burial and his resurrection. And now Paul wants us to focus on this aspect of being raised with Christ. The idea here is not only being raised with Christ from death to new life, but being raised with Christ to the heavenly places. In other words, being raised with Christ includes both his resurrection, his ascension. So how should we live now that we've been raised with Christ? William Henderson puts it this way. He says, believers should be consistent. They should live in conformity with the fact that they were raised with Christ. And then he says this, who is their life? Here's what I want you to know. You were meant for so much more than this world can give you. The book of Colossians gives us a bigger picture and a goal to strive for. It encourages us to raise above the things of this world and to focus on eternal things. The fact that we've been raised with Christ changes everything. So where should our focus be? Go ahead and take your note sheets out. You can follow along with me. The first thing we see in our passage are these two commands for those who have been raised with Christ. The first one is to seek the things above. And I know this might seem basic, but how many of us actually do this? Let's look at verse 1 this morning. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. So the word seek here is the same word that Jesus used in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, seek first the kingdom of God. And when Paul says that he's talking to the Christian and telling them that they have a new direction and a new goal in life. We're no longer to seek the things down on this earth, but rather to set our hearts on the things above. And that things above phrase refers to heavenly things, right? Eternal things. The things of God and not of man. The things that will last forever in contrast to the temporal things of this world. That's why Jesus said, Matthew 6:19-21, do not lay up for yourself treasures on this earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, he says, there your heart will be also. So back to Colossians 3:1, seek things that are above. And then it says, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So why seek things above? Because that's where Christ is. And so we love Jesus and we have this hunger and we have a thirst for Christ. And we want to be with him and he's above and he's seated at the right hand of God. And seating at the right hand was considered to be a place of honor. Especially when you're talking about sitting at the king's right hand. In this case, this is not only the king's right hand, this is the right hand of God. This is the place of highest honor. It's also the place of highest authority. What this means is that Jesus is reigning over all things. Jesus said in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and earth has what? Been given to me. And when we see the things above and Jesus is at the right hand of God, what we're really saying is that Jesus is Lord. But the Bible tells us not only that has Christ been raised and seated in heavenly realms, it says that we are sitting with him. Ephesians 2:6 raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Spiritually, believers have been raised with Christ. They're sitting with him in the heavenly places. This means that you and I, who are Christ followers, have been freed from Satan. We have authority in Christ over the enemy. And all of this goes back to this picture of your baptism that Paul talked about in Colossians 2, where he said in verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And so when we do the baptism next week, what you're going to see is when somebody goes under the water in baptism, it's a picture of them being buried with Christ. And then when they come up out of that water, it is a picture of them being raised with Christ. And you've been given this new life with Christ and a new direction. That's what baptism is a picture of. When you died with Christ, you cut off your connection to this old world. You are now raised with Christ, connected with heaven and the things above. So that's our first command this morning. And then secondly, we're to set our minds on the things above. It's a similar command, verse 2. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. And the idea here to set your minds means to exercise your mind, to think about something. So if you're to seek things above, it's to have this new direction, and then to set your mind on the things above means to have a new focus. And what he is driving at here is for us to not only seek heaven, but to think heaven. We are living here on this earth, but our mind should be constantly thinking about heaven. You've been raised with Christ, and therefore we have this new focus. We're to be constantly thinking about God and the things of God rather than the things of earth. Now, when Paul talks about earthly things, he's not necessarily talking about sinful things. Some things on this earth obviously are sinful, but not everything, right? And so to do that would be to make the same mistake that the false teachers were making, and they thought all material and physical things were evil. We're not saying that at all. The sin is not in the earthly things themselves, but the sin is in making them your focus. Don't set your mind on earthly things. Don't be thinking earthly things all the time. Instead, our thoughts should be focused on heavenly things. Paul writes in Philippians 3, verses 19 and 20, their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I've heard it said that some people are so heavenly minded that they are of no earthly good. Have you heard that? You know what I think the greater danger is? I think it's to be so earthly minded that you do no heavenly good. Set our minds on the things above, and you'll be useful both on this earth and for spiritual purposes as well. And my point is that we're not to ignore the world that we live in, where we just focus on heaven. That's what the false teachers were doing, but rather, we are to view this world through heaven's lens, from an eternal perspective. And when we set our minds on things above, it'll revolutionize your thinking. It's the garbage in, garbage out kind of principle here. Paul said this in Philippians 4:8. This is a great verse. This verse should be plastered on your mirror in your bathroom or somewhere, right, where you can look at this verse over and over again. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And I don't need to go over every word in the verse. They translate nicely. But what Paul is saying here is that much of the Christian life comes down to our minds. Romans 12:2 speaks of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. 2 Corinthians 10 talks about the importance of casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And how we should bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What we choose to meditate on matters. Set our minds on the things above. And as you do that, you will view people around you differently. Look with me at 2 Corinthians 5, 15 and 16. Actually, I'm going to start in 14. It says, for the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. And from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. And I think one of the points that we can get from these verses is that our love for God, our life for God is expressed in the way that we serve others. When we say that we live for God, we cannot use that as an excuse to neglect serving others. When our focus is on heaven, we now view each person in the light of eternity, realizing that they will spend forever either in heaven or in hell. Right? And so the question is this morning, where is your heart? Like, what do you seek? Where's your mind? What do you think about? The challenge is not to let the world influence your thinking, but to let your mind be transformed by Christ and his word. Let your mind be soaked with Scripture. And with the thoughts of Christ, since you've been raised with Christ, you have a new direction, a new focus. And so let's set our hearts and our minds on things above. All right, next point in your outline, number two. are these three reasons why we should do these things. And firstly is that you died with Christ. The first part of verse 3, Colossians chapter 3 says this, for you have died. It's talking about your past. You've died with Christ. It's the first part of verse 3. Those three short words carry huge impact. Christ not only died for you, but you died with him. If you're a Christian here today, it's something that has already happened to you. It is completed action in the past. When you put your faith in Christ, you died. Warren Wiersbe puts it this way, we are dead and alive all at the same time. Dead to sin and alive to Christ. I heard this story of these two sisters that came to Christ, and let's just say their lifestyle prior to this was a little bit crazy and wild, right? You can kind of imagine that, fill in the blanks, whatever. It wasn't long after they became Christians that they were invited to one of those wild and crazy parties, and as new believers, here's what their response was. I love this response. They said this, we're sorry we can't make it because we recently died. I thought, you know what? They get it, right? They understood. They're setting their hearts and minds on the things above. Why? Because something has happened to them in the past. They died with Christ. Paul writes in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the section where Paul talks about the law and faith, and he anticipates this question of those that argue with him all the time. And they're like, okay, Paul, when did you ever die to the law? And Paul's like, okay, here we go. Right? The answer is, I've been crucified with Christ. I died to the law when Jesus died on the cross. Right? Like he died in my place on the cross. So it was like me up there, and he died, and I died to the law when he died. He goes on to say, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And since we died with Christ on the cross, we have a different life. Our old life lived under the law is dead. And now we're alive to Christ. And Jesus is alive in us. And I think just as believers, if you've been a believer for a long time, sometimes we forget this stuff. But we are alive in Christ. And Paul knows that you can only manage this new life that Jesus gave him by faith. You can't live the new life that Jesus gives on the foundation of law keeping. You can only do it by faith. That's the first reason that we should seek and set our minds on the things above. You died. The second reason is your life is hidden with Christ. Verse 3, for you have died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. And that's kind of an unusual phrase right there. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. So let's unpack that a little bit this morning. Well, first of all, the fact that your life as a believer is hidden with Christ, I think means that you are safe and secure. Well, like where is your life? It is hidden with Christ. Where is Christ? Seated at the right hand of God. I don't know about you, but I can't think of any safer place to be. Jesus said in John 10, I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And then verse 30, he says this, I and the Father are one. They both hold you in their hands. Which means you are safe and secure. Romans 8 tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that's the first sense of this word hidden. Your life is safe and secure in Christ. The second sense of this word is that the world doesn't understand your relationship with God through Christ. When you die physically, your body is buried in the ground. It's kind of hidden from sight. When you die with Christ, you are seated with him in the heavenly realms, and your life is hidden with him. The mystery is even greater. than that, because your life is not only hidden with Christ, it is hidden with Christ in God. Jesus prayed in John 17, I do not ask for these only, but for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The Father is in Jesus. Jesus is in the Father, and you and I are in the Father and the Son. It's a mystery for those who don't know Christ. They can't possibly fathom what that looks like and what that means. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. The second reason that we should seek the things above, set our minds on things above. First of all, you're safe and secure. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Here's, I guess this is the third reason. When Christ appears, you will appear with him in glory. Right, Colossians 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So you died in Christ in the past. Your life is hidden with Christ in the present. And in the future, you will appear with Christ in glory. Christ died, Christ rose again, Christ ascended into heaven, and one day Christ will return. And on that day, what was hidden will be revealed. And when Christ is our life, he is our goal in life, he's the reason for your life. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus goes on to say, because I live, you also will live, in John 14. So as a Christian, Jesus is not only the most important thing in your life, he is your life. I was reading about this movie that was made a long time ago, like far before most of you were even born. But it was about this high school coach. So the movie begins with this coach saying, in the locker room, it's baseball season, boys. And he's holding a baseball in his hand. And he tells his players, he says, men, baseball is my life. And then he goes on to give this awesome motivational speech to the team. The next scene, same coach, same locker room. Men, it's football season. He's got a football in his hand. Football is my life. Gives the same motivational speech. Next scene, same coach, same locker room. Men, it's basketball season. Basketball is my life. Same speech. Let me ask you today, what is your life? What is most important to you? Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If Paul were the coach in that locker room, no matter what season in life he was in, he would say, gentlemen, Jesus is my life. Is Christ your life? If you're a believer, he is your life and he's also your hope. Which is why Paul says, when Christ appears, you will also appear with him in glory. That is our hope as believers. And when I say hope, I mean I have a confident expectation and assurance based on God's promises and his character that I, as a Christ follower, will appear with him in glory. Just as every eye will see Jesus when he returns, every eye will see you with him. What is hidden will now be revealed. And those that laugh and mock at you for being a Christian will see the reality of your faith at that moment. We need not to worry about being on the wrong side of history. We should worry about being on the wrong side of eternity. We read in 1 John 3:2, beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we see him as he is. Where we stand in the present is pretty clear, but our future destiny is a little bit clouded. Like, we don't know in the kind of detail that I would like to know what it's going to be like in heaven, right? What are we going to look like? What is it going to be like? In that sense, we can't even imagine what it'll be like in glory. Remember, when Christ is revealed in glory, you and I as believers will be revealed along with him. Your life should totally be twisted up with Jesus. You are united with Christ by faith. When Christ died, you died. Christ rose again. You were raised with him. Christ will appear in glory, and you will appear in glory. And as Christians, we're called to live a Christ-centered life. Now, that means putting Christ first, at the center, rather than the things of this world. So don't look forward, don't look backward, don't look down or around. Look up. As a Christian, you have a new direction in life. Seek the things above. Set your mind and your heart on the things above. And the question is, are you with Christ or against him? Jesus said, he who is not with me is against me. But when we put our faith in Christ, you should be all in. And I want to encourage you this morning. I want to say to you, if you are here and you're feeling down and you're feeling discouraged, and maybe you're here and you just feel defeated, let me remind you to look up. You have been raised with Christ as a Christ follower. So set your mind and your heart on the things above and not on earthly things. All right? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. So I come before you today, God, with a heart that longs to be closer to you. And God, my prayer this morning is that you would remind us every day that this world is not our home. That our hope is found in you and you alone. So help each believer that is here today to set their minds on the things above. Give us wisdom. Give us understanding. God, guide us in your ways. God, I know for me, sometimes I just get caught up in the things of this world. And so, God, this morning I ask you for forgiveness. I ask you for strength. To just cast these things, these earthly things away, these distractions away. And help us to trust in your plan for our lives. I pray that our hope will be firmly rooted in you. And that we will always look to you for guidance and for strength as we live the Christian life. It's in Jesus' name that I pray.